The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You guys ready to hear from God this morning? I've heard from Him all week through the sermon. The Lord has embedded in my heart. And as usual, it's not an easy one for me. It's never easy. And I don't even want to go grab the Bible yet. And as we're in the topic of connecting with God, the Lord always steers me or leads me to bring sermons that convict, that challenge us. That'll just confront us where we're at. And I love this series that we brought up as the leaders of your church, Connecting with God. Because at times, we can start losing connection with God. And it happens to all of us. It happens to me. I'm no different. No leader is different than you. We're all humans, and we all struggle with this. So my sermon this morning, I am be calling it Losing Connection with God. Or Losing the Connection with God. Amen. So before we start, I would just like to pray. Father God, thank you. We love you, Lord, and we praise you and we glorify you. We pray this morning that you would speak directly to our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would come and fill this room, fill our hearts, fill our minds, fill our lives, that we could get something new and refreshed as we leave these doors today with something new from you, that our convictions would go deep and you would speak a new life into us, that you would continue to guide us, teach us, mold us, and direct us by your word, by your Holy Spirit, and by your presence. We love you and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, losing the connection. And I'm going to be reading out of the Old Testament. You got to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 through 5. And I'm going to touch just on the first three verses, but I will read 1 through 5. Amen. And it reads like this. It happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "This is not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him. And he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. Verse 5, the last verse. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." What does this story have to do with connecting with God, huh? A lot. You know, King David was called by God, chosen out of 7 brothers from his father Jesse. David had 7 brothers. They were all tall, muscular, hardworking guys, soldiers for the Israelite army. And David just took care of sheep. He was a little runt, kind of like me, a little runt. His brothers were big and good looking. And that's who God chose. You know, at times we can see someone and judge them. We could be so wrong. And God says, "No, I want that little one out there. There's one more out there. That's the one I want to use." So when they brought David, that's who God chose. David was a mighty man of God. David wrote most of the Psalms. This man loved God. This man was known as a man after God's heart. You know, in our heart we can wander and be prone to wander after other things. Are we as hungry as David was, just following God, seeking God, connecting with God? David was that man. But what happened to David? this mighty man of God. What happens to us when we're so on fire and then so quickly just start fading away? See, this didn't just come up on David. And this story has the two sides, and I'll make a sermon out of the other side, which was the girl just came real quick. Y'all go. She was quick to go, wasn't she? It's funny, she knew where to shower, huh? She had a straight shot at where David's castle was on top, and she was right there. She knew what was up. But we're not going to go there today. We're going to focus on what happened to David, this man that truly loved God, wrote all these psalms, was used mightily by God, and took down the giant as a teenager. You young ones that are here today, oh, I'm too young to serve God. I don't know how to serve God. King David was 14, called by God, a young boy, took out a 9-foot giant with one rock. You know how he did it? Because he believed in God. He said, I come in the name of the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God we serve. Teenagers, whatever you're struggling with, you can overcome that. Jesus lives in you. His spirit is powerful. Amen? And we're so quickly to lose that. And this sin just didn't come on David. It just didn't present itself. It created in time. You know, this sin just didn't show up and say, David said, I'm going to go mess up. No, it just crept in on him. He disengaged himself from the battle he was supposed to be at, as we read. He said in the time when kings went to battle, he stayed home. Why didn't he go? Why don't we go when we shall go do the things of God? Try to tie yourself into the life of David as I speak, and I get to these 3 points I want to get to here shortly, just as I get through this intro. So what happened from keeping David from doing the right thing, the correct thing, or going to battle where he should have been? See, the instant we start choosing to start lacking off from God, slowing up, or just chilling a little bit, not fully committed, going to church or doing your ministry, reading your Bible, praying, staying connected, the instant you start that in your life, like David, you're going to start fading away. You're going to start cooling off. You're going to start disconnecting from God. That's a dangerous place to be, friends, especially in these last days. I mean, I know you've heard it over and over, but Jesus is coming. I'm going to keep saying that through these years, that Jesus will give me here at Remnant, because one day he's going to be right there. Where will we be found? Where will we be found? Amen. Praising him and serving him daily. But David faded out. This sin slowly crept in and he disconnected with God. The disciplined life and your prayer and reading God's word starts fading away. That's what happens when you stop and start disconnecting with God. That's why it's important to stay connected with God. When we retreat from the battle, a fall is not far away. When you retreat from your battle in serving God and the things you got to confront and face, the fall is coming, folks. You're going to retreat. You're going to want to leave. You're going to want to cool off. You're going to want to retreat. And that's what happens. You have to stay in the Word. David started slowly slacking off, and then the fall came. It's a slow fade. I like the song by Casting Crowns Around. I wrote down the lyrics. There's a song by a worship band called Casting Crowns, and the song goes like this. It's a slow fade. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's the second glance that ties your hands as it darkens, pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go, for it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when the black and white turn to gray. Thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid. When you give yourself away, people never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. When flattery leads to compromise, the end is always near. Be careful, little lips, what you say. For empty words and promises lead to broken hearts astray. That song is so powerful. It's so true. This is what happened to David. He started slowly fading away, just like in my life. At 14, 15, I was a pretty good drawer. I think I still am, but I drew a lot. I did letters and signs all my life. But in my teenage years, I was in junior high, 7th grade. Everyone knew I could draw. I was drawing things for my friends. And then the school got a hold of me. And that year, closing out the school year in elementary, Barberworth, they had me draw these signs against drugs, say no to drugs. And I drew these marijuana leaves and putting the no thing and all these no signs all over school. And I drew those. I was very proud of myself. I didn't believe in God yet, but he used me through that. Guess what happened the following year, eighth grade? I tried it. And I slowly started fading away. They introduced me to marijuana in the eighth grade. I just wanted to try it one time. One time. And that's all it took. From there, it escalated to other drugs throughout my life. And before I know it, I was enslaved to that lifestyle. And before I knew it, I was so conceived, so believed in my head, in my life, in my mind, in my heart, that that's how I was supposed to live. All my friends were doing it. But it crept in. It was slowly, folks. At the age of 14, I turned and I went into a dark lifestyle, drugs and alcohol, lying, cheating, violence. You know my testimony. But it crept in slowly. And before I knew it, I looked back. I was way far off following God. I was lost. I was in a trance. I was in a hole. I was in this dark hole that I just could not see. I had no conscience. I couldn't think clearly. I didn't care about no one but myself and my high. So deceived, so enslaved to that lifestyle. But everyone else was doing it, so it looked okay. I said, well, they're all messed up. I guess that's the thing to do. Let's go do it. We follow along. Oh, but when Jesus came, someone invited me to that Promise Keepers, and when Jesus came, he took these scales off my eyes. I'm sure mom and dad were praying for me, my family. They knew I was all messed up. I know they were praying for me. Mom's like, I don't care what religion you go to, just follow God. She was so happy. Ask her. She smiles now and she's in tears. But those are tears of God. They're of joy because he has changed me and he can change you. See, and I haven't let go of him. No matter what came my way, I had to keep looking up. Problems came, the bills, the rent, living on food stamps. I needed to keep looking up. I didn't want to disconnect from God. There was days, folks, trust me, I was like the lady that was bleeding. She said, if I could just grab the hem of Jesus Christ, if I could just touch a little bit of Jesus, I know I will be healed. But David forgot his God. David forgot his God. He turned in the time of battle. Look what it says in Titus 3:3. Titus 3:3, when we're enslaved to that lifestyle that I was in, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. There it is, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating others. People wonder, oh, my life's all messed up. What's going on? Nothing goes right. Well, are you connecting with God? Are you living for the Lord? Are you honoring him with your life and your family and how you live? See, things are going to come. You need to live for God. You need to give him all that you got. At all costs, because you'll be enslaved. I was enslaved to the lifestyle I led. And I thought I was cool. I was it. I was just killing myself inside, mentally, physically, spiritually. I had no spiritual life. I'm sure I worked for Satan because I played in all these clubs and bars and concerts with these bands I played in. And I thought I was on top of the world. I was going straight to hell, 110 miles an hour. But Jesus came. And this is what happens when you start disconnecting. And where do these battles come from? Why do we struggle so much? Why can't we get along with someone at times? Why do we struggle with our personal insights? This is an easy one, and I tell everyone I counsel with or I meet with or we're on the subject of. It's in James 4:1. James 4:1 says this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires and battles that are within you? See, I liked my beer and my alcohol, my loud rock and roll music. I liked it. So that's what drew me away. I didn't care about mom. I never thought about calling mom or dad. They probably thought I was dead. I was gone for days. But those buddies of mine were pulling me the wrong way. Those bad influences. And I thought that was the thing to do. And I was so far from God, so disconnected. Where do you find yourself this morning? Distant? Kind of just there? Are you truly passionately connecting with God? And if you're not, you can do it right now. You can start right now. Maybe you started last week. It's okay. God's always willing and waiting to be used. He wants to use us. You're part of this church for some ministry reason, period. Most of us just come and sit here. It's good to come and listen to God's word, but seek God. What's your calling? And maybe it's at your work. Maybe it's giving or helping people or caring for people. I don't know. But stay connected and God will show you. But if you start fading away, disconnecting, that's why you have those problems at home. That's why you have those battles. That's why teenagers, your grades aren't doing too good. Because you're hanging around with those wrong crowds and maybe looking at the wrong things on the screens. Getting into the wrong conversations on Facebook and Twitter. They're going to steer you away, young one. You need to stay connected with God and other believers. It's not on my notes this morning, but I've memorized it because, where are you, Richard? God bless you, brother. He's back there. This guy knows so much of the word, and he's teaching me. James, Hebrews 10, 25 says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. That's us. That's the Christians. You need to keep coming to church. You need to be in some kind of Bible study, some kind of fellowship, some kind of connection all week. Not every day, but stay connected throughout the week. One Sunday is not good enough. Every Sunday is not good enough, folks. You're not going to make it through the week. We battle things every day. From the minute you get up in your own home with your kids, the turmoil that goes there, the bills, trying to get to work, the traffic, your coworker, that boss that's just always on your back. I don't know. But if you're connected with God, it's going to smooth out. Things kind of slip off. I repeat myself at work. They don't know why I always smile. It's Jesus. Frank, but, you know, we just got in an argument and this was wrong and you went back and just made it right. Well, that's all you had to do. Why should I come over here and talk about that other guy and judge him and talk behind his back that he messed me up and I don't like what he did? What for? What good is it going to do me? Just go make it right. See, and when you're connected with God, those are the reactions you're going to have. You're going to have godly reactions. You're going to react the way God's word wants you to. Not your own way. And David made it his own way here at this moment, in this evening. So let's look at what took David off course. What started making David fade out? What was the first thing? He kind of blew it, if I may say. If he kind of turned a little. It's commitment. The first point is commitment. Look at the very first verse. In the spring of the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the kings. What do you mean he sent David out? He's the king. He's the leader of the armies. He calls all the shots. Look, sent Joab out. But David remained. Those are the key words right there. What happened to his commitment? This man was known for all his victories. And he was proud because he knew who he did it for. He was serving the living God, our Messiah. Elohim, Yahweh, God. What happened? He started losing commitment. Some of us can start losing commitment. We can start. David got comfy and lazy. Sometimes we get to that high position, we start slacking off a little bit. This is another thing that happens at my work. I'm kind of like the third or fourth in charge now. God's moved me up in that office. And they always see me running around, going to the warehouse, getting dirty, loading trucks. And I don't have to do it, some of this stuff. I love doing some of this stuff because it says work unto God, not unto man. I'm trying to show them the love of Christ. I'm trying to show them what a godly man works like and looks like at work around others that don't know God, that are disconnected, lost for eternity. Frank, you shouldn't be doing that. Why not? Excuse me. And they're like, wow. But there are some guys there above me and a little bit under me in that office that do really just relax, don't do nothing. They don't answer the phones. They don't want to help because they're kind of in a management position and they take advantage of that. They start slacking off. I don't know if you're in your position right now and God's speaking to you in a high position. Come on, get it going. Show them. I don't have to go outside and get all sweaty, but I do it because I love God and I want to show them Jesus. I can very easily sit at my desk from the time I get there, 6 to 5, and not even get up. Just do it all from there. My computers, printers, everything's there. What kind of example am I being? And you know, other people are quick to judge. God, he just sits all day. He doesn't do nothing. Look at him. We're quick to judge, huh? He don't even help. He don't do nothing. Man, I do all the work. It happens. Guys, get over yourself. Get up and just do it yourself. Show them. Yeah, there's times, hey, you need to correct someone. Tell me, I need you to do this for me, please. You know, you can say it properly. But how else will they see God? See, God shows the Israelites to be workers. What did he do with Adam? What's the first thing he did when he created everything? What did he make him go do in the garden? Thank you. I know all of you answered in your mind, go work. Then he made him, what, a helper? Was she going to just kick back and just look at the leaves grow? That's not helping, is it? Metaphor for size, wow, flowers coming out of the leaves. No, she was supposed to help. Women work too. And in this time and era and inflation, couples, I know you have to work sometimes, but both of you have to work. And thank God for that. You both have a job. Be grateful and pray and thank God that you have those jobs. But go to your job and show them you're connected with God. Don't go and sit there and just cruise. God showed me this all week through some guys I work with. And I was studying this. I get perfect, Lord. Thank you that you showed me. And I said, thank you that I'm not like them. That I can just sit here and do nothing. But I work hard because I want to please you, God. Not man. And I tell them, look, I work hard because I serve God. They're like, they back there. That's how they do it. Some of them are demon possessed. They don't even go, they leave away. Ah, oh, you're crazy. One, I think, was spinning his head the other day. They hate when they hear I serve God. Some of them do. Sorry. Some of them don't even go in my office. They're looking at my frames, my scriptures, and pictures. Hey, Frank, good morning. They're afraid of God. And I pray for those guys the most. God, draw them. Use me, Lord. How else can I do it to draw them, God? Work hard, son. Work hard, Frank. Keep showing them the love of Christ. Don't give up on them. I don't want to fade out. That's true commitment. You got to stay committed. We can't quit praying and seeking God. We must be committed to everything that comes before us, guys. And I know some of us are going through some hard things. Tell me. I've been through some good ones. I'm still standing and smiling. Why couldn't you make it? Stay committed, folks. Stay committed. David lost that commitment. Secondly, what happened? Second point is he lost his consistency. His consistency, consistent. Second verse, one evening, verse 2, David got up from his bed. That's a truck because I work around trucks. Let's read that again. One evening, David got up from his bed. What are you getting, folks? This guy was up early, ready for battle when there was war for years. Did he just, what do you, you know what I see? Look at it. I'm going to read it one more time. I'm going to give you the nugget out of it if you don't see it. One evening, it's the afternoon. Where did David get out of? What is it saying? He's sleeping all day. It's already the afternoon and he's barely getting out of bed. And he's the king. He's the leader. What happened to consistency? Folks, some of you can get up 30 minutes more, 10 minutes. I beg you in the love of Christ, get 10 minutes more earlier from your time when you're going to go to work and pray. Seek God, 10 minutes. You know what Jesus told the disciples in the garden? You cannot wait how long? An hour? You couldn't pray? Jesus really asked for an hour. But 10 minutes more, sacrifice 10 more minutes in your morning and give it to God. That'll show consistency, not just sometimes, folks. I know God is speaking to all of us. He wants you to get up every day and pray for him. Guys, listen, we're up early and excited to go do your own things, the things you like. You're up early, everything's ready to go. You can't give God a little bit of time? God is a jealous God. And folks, let me tell you, friends, there's times I get up and I drag to the couch. And sometimes it is just 10 minutes. But I made that consistency. I'm working on it to stay there. And I ask God, God, give me the strength. Help me get up. I want to go pray. I've got to talk with you, God, before I leave today. And this is every day, folks. Not sometimes. Every day. That's where you start staying connected with God. Because if you don't keep up this routine, this practice, and staying committed and consistent with God, you will start disconnecting. You see those two wires that are separated? There won't be no connection. But once you start praying, see that word connect? The Holy Spirit comes and just connects us directly to God. You think your iPhone connects real quick to other things? You're instantly connected to God. Nothing in this world has ever been created or invented that connects quickly and faster than getting on your knees and saying, God, I'm here. Bam, he's there. He's already there. I don't care what kind of phone's out there. Nothing's faster than connecting with God. He's always there. The problem is you're not coming to connect. His wire's always ready there. Come on, wake up. David was sleeping all day. That's what happened there to his consistency. And what was he doing? Just cruising around the roof. Did you know the enemy will hit you the most when you're just idle, doing nothing, tired, bored, on board? Oh, look at that. Nobody's watching. That's when you get it. That's when the Lord wants to work on you. I've always said this. For those of you that drive, you have a driver's license, you can't be in this story. You're out in the country, no one's around, and you come up to those railroad tracks that look abandoned, trains don't even pass through there, and it says stop. Do you stop? Thank you. I didn't used to stop. I go out to delivery sometimes. There's a road out there by Celia. I deliver to Jerry Priest Farms, and I take them boxes of chemicals, and... There wasn't a stop sign at one time, so I just run in. I see other trucks run it. Well, the Lord started dealing with me on that subject because if I'm going to preach it, I have to practice it. Guess what God did? The next time I come up, I'm ready to run it. I can see it from far. No one's around. And I'm getting closer. There's a stop sign, a big, brand new stop sign. God saying, you better know how to stop. You're preaching it. You're not doing it. So I stop. Okay, God, there's no one around. And I always stop now. I always stop now. No one's around. But who am I showing I want to be consistent to? The Lord God. He sees us. He's always watching us. But are you staying consistent? He's right there waiting on us all the time. Well, he might be getting up right now. Well, he rolled over. It's going to be another 10 more minutes. Oh, hit the snooze button again. Another 20. Kick it outside and get up. Roll off bed. Lay there. Pray to him laying down. Some of us probably have a hard time getting up. Pray laying down. Talk to him the minute you get up. And you'll start really connecting with God. See, we start listening to God's word, feeling all the right emotions and passions while ignoring what's needed the most. What's needed the most? Ooh, this feels good. I feel the passion. Oh, man, this is it right here. What's missing, what's needed is being obedient to his word. That's where we fall short. Man, look at that brother. He's on fire. He looks passionate. Man, I feel it. And that person goes home and is doing something that's totally against God. Obedience. Obedience. Don't hide anything because he's watching us. And we wonder why our lives are such in turmoil at times. We wonder why these things come at us. Some are God, they're of God. But a lot of times we choose the wrong things and do the wrong things or act the wrong way and consequences come. You need to stay committed and you stay consistent. We must obey God's word or consequences will come. Look at what he does in Hosea chapter 13, verse 16. This is also in the Old Testament. This is God. People of Samaria must hear. People of Samaria must bear consequences of their guilt because they rebelled against God. They will be killed by invading armies, the little ones dashed to death against the ground, the pregnant women will be ripped open by swords. This is God telling the people, this is what's going to happen. See, a lot of teens today are getting dashed to the ground with all these gadgets that are out there, and parents are allowing it. I have nothing against video games, folks. I know some of you play those, and I've talked with you about it. But when you're committing and being consistent with all those things more than God, something's wrong, and things will come. Abortion is going crazy. Babies, stomachs ripped open. That's a prophecy today. Abortion. Folks, there's parents that are women that can't have kids, and there's couples that will lovingly take those babies that these other girls have that don't want. Instead, they go abort them. There's consequences. God's made ways for everything. People just go the wrong way, and we disconnect. So where are you this morning? Are you being consistent? Are you working on being consistent? Are you having a hard time? That's good, because I have a hard time. It's not easy being consistent, but just keep working at it. Keep working at it. God wants us to be consistent. And David lost it. Sleeping in all day. He started sleeping in, letting the armies go out little by little. He wasn't doing his job no more. Ah, you got a job. You got this. I'm tired of this. You got it. And then he got up, just cruising around one day, and he went and did the wrong thing. When he saw her, why didn't he say, oh, God, I just better pray. I shouldn't do this. This is not right. Oh, God, I shouldn't have said that. This is wrong. I'm going to go make it right. That's consistency. God says, okay, child, you did the wrong. Now you want to make it right with them, or you want to make the situation right. Okay, I'm good with that. If not, consequences will come. Amen? That's what was happening to David. That's how he started getting disconnected. And this last point, and I'm almost done. This is the most important one in our lives as Christians. If you're a Christian in this room this morning, this should be a very powerful unit in your life that should be convicting you, which is conviction. My third point is conviction. David lost his conviction. Look at verse 3. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Look at verse 4. Oh, send messengers, bring her. No conviction. He knew she was married. First of all, he knew he shouldn't have been looking at her when he saw her. What happened to his conviction? And when he asked about it, go, yeah, just bring her. I don't care. And she willingly came, yeah, I'll go. There's two sides to that story. Like I said, I'll pray for another sermon at the other end. But for right now, we're focusing on David. What happened to his conviction? Oh, she's married. Oh, well, I'll bring her in. I don't care. By the way, if you know the story, when he lays with her and she comes out pregnant, he starts finding ways to cover up the lie or cover up what he did. He wanted send his husband to the war. Get him killed. Get him out of the way. He was trying everything. First, he brought him home from the army, tried to get him drunk and send him home to his wife to think that he laid with her and his baby, it was his baby. No, it didn't work. That soldier, his wife, Bathsheba's husband, was so faithful that he stayed in front of David's house. He didn't go home. He said, why should I go home and my friends are out there in battle? I'm going to sit right here in the front of the king's house and serve him and wait to do what he wants me to do. Then David wakes up. He goes, why didn't you go sleep with your wife? No, my friends are at war and you're my king. I can't be laying with my wife right now. That ain't right. That's a faithful man right there. Talk about consistency. We should learn from this man that got killed by King David's hand. And order. We can kill people with words, folks. That one hurts. Because I used to do it a lot. I was very vulgar with people. I didn't care. I shot you down. I cursed you and talked about your mama, your dog, and everything. Again, but when Jesus came in, Frank, you need some work, buddy. We need a lot of work. And I'm still being worked on, folks. I'm working on being consistent. I'm working on loving people, praying for you by name. I'm trying to memorize names, your names, and I have a real bad time. And I'm like, God, you know them, that lady with the blue dress that day or that guy with the Levi's. He understands. At least I got detailed. Oh, God's like, yeah, the guy with the blue pants. I remember that guy. That was Jose Frank, by the way. Oh, yeah, that's right, Lord, thanks. Consistent and then conviction. First, you got to be committed. Then after that comes the consistency. And most of all, you got to be a Christian that gets convicted. And folks, if you don't have conviction in your heart when you're doing something you shouldn't have, or you know you did something against God, or you hurt someone and you know it's wrong, and you don't feel bad about it, you're in a bad place. You're in a scary area because the Holy Spirit's not there to convict you. When you do something wrong and you feel really bad about it, that's a good thing. Conviction is needed in the Christian's life to make us go repent and make it right before God first and then with that person. You got to go over there and apologize and make it right. That's what conviction is. It's the Holy Spirit. But if we don't apply that, you're just going to be a loose Christian that doesn't have convictions and you will be wandering like David. You'll be looking at things we shouldn't. We'll be wandering our little feet to other places we shouldn't be walking at. Amen? It's stop praying, once in a while pick up our Bible. You know why I'm so blessed where I work? Because I can study all day. My new boss, he doesn't care. Guess what he did the other day? Frank, can you come into my office? Like, oh, he busted me. I had this sermon on my desk. My screen was on my Bible study. And he walked in. He asked me something. He left. And about a minute later, Frank came in my office. I thought it was done. Oh, God, I'm in trouble, though. It was for you, Lord. And I sit down. And he looks up and he looks concerned, and I'm more scared. Like, oh gosh, this is it. My life came before me. No job, got to pay the bills. And I'm just trying to stand strong and say, God, this is all you. And I'm just staring at him. He looks up and he just like looks concerned. He goes, Frank, two of my relatives have cancer. Can you pray for them? I know you're a man of God. Isn't that? I wanted to cry. Well, first, because I didn't get fired. But secondly, because the conviction came in. See, when you talk with someone that you know, a friend, a coworker, and you feel that conviction, you're feeling empathy. You should feel with them. Jesus was hurt when he would see people that needed help. He always said, what would you like me to do for you? And he was passionate and convicted about it. And you should feel that conviction and really go out of your way to help that person. If anything, pray for them. It's so important to pray for each other. And in prayer, folks, by God's word, if you start praying more convictedly, your conviction will grow. And you will start getting connected more with God. It's the only way I started changing was praying, seeking God, helping others. I had to die. Frank had to die. The old man has to die. All the things I liked had to go and get disconnected with the ways of the world and start connecting with God, his word, and people like you, friends and pastors like Jerry and Jeremiah, great men of God that I love talking with, that we have meetings once a year here standing. We're the best meetings, man. The other day we're all talking here, and Jerry goes, that's our meeting for the year. Praise God. But I'm so blessed to be a part of their life. I'm so blessed to have them in my life. Again, folks, we sharpen each other. Stay committed. Stay consistent. And work on that conviction. God always wants us back. And uses conviction and brokenness to draw him to him. Jeremiah 15:19, look what it says. Jeremiah 15:19, this is God speaking again. The Lord replied, if you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak words that are worthy, you will be my spokesman. You are to influence them. Do not let them influence you. There it is. Make that your prayer. I take some texts and use them in prayer. As I'm studying God's word at times, I'll pick a verse and write it on a sticky note at work, and I just meditate and I try to read it all day. And if I got a little chance to pray there at my desk or in the warehouse, I remember the text. Not word for word, but I go around it. I go around it. Lord, I want to serve you. I repent. Restore me. You're so worthy, God. I want to be worthy to you. Just pick words out of it. See, it's that easy. People always tell me, I don't know how to pray. Well, read your Bible. The Our Father. Everyone knows the Our Father. Even the teens know the Our Father. That'll bring conviction. Don't cool off, folks. You got to stay committed. You got to stay consistent. And you need conviction to do its work, what it's going to do in us.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You